You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, this isn't just me, Friday. Congratulations to Nathan MacKinnon. My goodness. What a season. Record-breaking season. 140 points, setting a franchise record going back to the Quebec days, going back to the days of Peter Stastny in 1981, the 81-82 season, the previous high for the franchise, 139 points. MacKinnon breaks that record with 140. Good for him.
Definitely a legend. Peter Stastny, one of the best ever to play. You know, he had some crazy seasons. You know, I think he had a lot better seasons than me overall. Just one, but obviously I think it's a team accomplishment. A lot of guys helped me out along the way. Tons of great hockey this season. But, you know, my focus is definitely on the playoffs. I'm not really thinking about this at all, to be honest. So.
And naturally, with the regular season wrapping up, the regular season, that's the MVP award based on the regular season. He is the favorite right now. Plenty of stiff competition. But naturally, MacKinnon was downplaying talk of the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, I think it could go to a lot of guys. You know, I don't think one guy is more deserving of another guy. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's out of my hands, and I can't control, you know, people who vote for me that don't like me or like me. So it's all good either way.
The kind of response you'd expect from.
Yeah, from a hockey guy.
From a hockey guy, right?
It's the kind of respect you get from Jokic.
Yes.
Very much the same. Cut from the same cloth.
Yes. To the point where he came out and said, can we stop talking about this? It's just become too, it's just too contentious.
Right.
The MVP talk. But such, I just want to give a shout out to MacKinnon because, you know, here's a guy who's been in the league over a decade now and is clearly established as a superstar, wins the Stanley Cup just a couple of years ago, gets the big contract. It might be, it wouldn't be unforgivable if a guy like that would sort of, not coast, but understand, hey, I'm in a really good spot with my game. Nothing to change here. But here's somebody, Mark, who over the last, and this is what I really think stands out about him, is his commitment to becoming an all-around player. Mm-hmm. You know, he came into the league with a reputation of being a scorer, a sniper, and all he's done over his career is continue to round out his game. He's become a true 200-foot player. He's just as dangerous now coming back on defense to use his speed and strength as he is on offense and his playmaking. Here's a guy who basically for the span of about 5 years was just comfortably in that 56 to 58 assists per season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last year, he jumps that up to 69 assists. And then this year, a whopping 89 assists on that way to that 140 points. 51 goals, 89 assists. Just speaks to the growth, the evolution of his game, but the willingness, even this deep into his career, to continue to expand what he can do out there.
And not just to make a good play, but to make the right play.
Right.
He's done that. And he's been great, and I can point to so many of the assists where he could have gotten a shot off. But he's like, my shot is not as good as if I make this pass. I go back to that Lekkonen goal a week ago.
Right.
Even last night, didn't he have who did he assist on? He had two assists in the first couple of goals, but I think there was a sweet assist over to Chewy, who was kind of sliding into the crease there, and just a beautiful, like a beautiful dish to get a deflection into the goal. So
two more assists last night.
Yeah.
Which allowed him to set the record, 140 points. As we light the lamp, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. So we were asked by one of our great listeners, what did they gain from that win last night?
What did they gain? Well, I mean, MacKinnon was able to get the record.
Yep.
And I just
But did it do anything? Did the performance do anything to maybe calm your rattled nerves about the way that they've been playing coming down?
No, I mean, you're playing against the JV team. Exactly. So there's not that. But there is something about recognizing what your coach has said to you about where your game is lacking and trying to go out and fix it. Now, when you go up 4-0 right off the bat in the fourth or in the first period, then you kind of get into cruise control mode, right? And I think they did that. But I just think every time, I will tell you, every time I think Ennen gets an opportunity, he takes advantage of the opportunity. And I think it just, I think one thing is that they won't hesitate to pull Georgiev if they feel like Georgiev doesn't have it. And I think they've grown in confidence that Ennen could be that guy.
I think they're showing the proper amount of respect to Georgiev, who's been the number one guy all year. Hey, you're gonna get the shot. You're our guy to start between the pipes in the playoffs. You've earned that. But man, it's tenuous.
You have a
thin grip on this thing. Go out and hold on to it.
It's exactly how I was coached.
That's
the challenge. I say this, you know, tongue in cheek, but it's 100% true. It's the way I was coached my whole 6 years in Denver here. I'm with you, win or tie. Losing, we're going to have an issue. I think that's honest, you know? I think that's the way it is.
As far as what they gain out of it, not much from a team perspective, but I do think there's something to the idea that if you're a basketball player, there's something about seeing the ball go through the net a few times that gives you some confidence. If you're a baseball player, getting a solid base hit, you know, and seeing the puck go in the net or making a nice pass that leads to a goal, I think that helps guys. And so you look at last night and you see some of the contributions. You see Val get a couple of goals. He'd been kind of slumping after playing hot after his initial return. And can I give a shout out? Yesterday I talked about Zach Parise playing the final game of his.
How about him getting that goal?
He got a goal
off a knee.
How about that?
It's really cool.
In his final regular season game as an NHL player, because he will retire for good after this playoff run is over. But after a career that started in 2005, he played his final regular season game last night and scored career goal number 434.
I know how.
That's awesome.
I know exactly how that happened. Not the goal, but why he came back.
Why?
Because you retire and you think you're just going to have time to chill and relax and figure it all out.
Spend time with the family.
Right.
You get that one a lot.
And then your wife.
Taking time off to spend more time with the family.
And then your wife has just been like, leave me alone. Like I have, for 19 years, I've got a routine.
Yeah.
Because you go back in and you think you're going to change the routine, right?
Right. Is that what happened at the Schlereth house?
Oh, yeah. You think, well, why are we doing it this way? Shut up. We've been doing it this way for the last 18 years. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Right.
Go, aren't you supposed to go jump in a tub of ice or something right now?
Go play some golf. Get it out of my hair. And you're just, and eventually you're like, man, I got to find something to do. Otherwise, she's going to leave me. And so, you know, you experiment with that a little bit, and you realize I better find something to do. So hopefully he's got, you know, a little bit better lay of the land when he retires next time.
Yeah, because he admitted, he said, you know, I was you know, hanging out with my buds, my hockey buds, and then they all went off to training camp, and I'm sitting around on the couch going, man, I kind of miss this.
Yeah.
You know? So Papa Murphy's, home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays, end of a long week like this. You don't want to cook. You don't want to go out to eat and spend all that money. Get yourself a take and bake pizza from Papa Murphy's. They are delicious, and they're so easy. Pop them in the oven and enjoy all their goodness. Coming up, we are giving you the chance as part of our fan flyaway presented by Sport Clips to go see a game on the road during the Pro Basketball Championships coming up in June. Two tickets to the game, round trip airfare for 4-2 from Denver. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money. Just go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips, and we wish you good luck. Is It Just Me? Friday rolls on next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Jumping back into Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest. We want opinions. We want humor. We want snark. Give it to us on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Here's one. Is it just me? You guys are absolutely crazy if you think Tom Brady's going to come out of retirement to play for this crappy team. If anything, he would come out of retirement to play for Minnesota, or a team that actually has a decent chance of making the playoffs. The Broncos are not a team that he would ever come out of retirement to play for.
Well, see, there's where you've lost me. Because he was already going to move from Tampa to Miami to work with Sean Payton. That was the grand plan. It was all in place. It created a lawsuit, and Miami got in trouble for tampering. And basically for firing Brian Flores as the head coach because they were going to make it all happen. So, if that was the case, and it was more about the guy coaching you, why would he not? He's already talked about going back to New England, going back to the Raiders. Oh, yeah, because they're such great playoff threats.
Yeah, I suppose a team that would give him a chance to perhaps compete for something would give that team an edge. But I think at this point, if he's serious about coming back, I think he's just to scratch the itch of playing again. And I'm sorry, you can't overlook the fact that Tom Brady and Sean Payton were ready to work together. And by the way, not just work together, but leave their teams and leave them to go take on this new collaboration. In the case of Brady, leaving a team he had just won a Super Bowl with.
Right.
And the case of Sean, leaving the team he'd been with for 15 years.
Right.
He is so collaborative.
That's not insignificant. The fact that these two were ready to turn their back on where they were to go somewhere new to collaborate, that's a big deal.
Huge deal.
I don't think you overlook that if Brady is indeed serious about coming back.
It's from a coaching standpoint. Would you rather go play for Antonio Pierce or Sean Payton if you're Brady? Would you rather go play for Gerard Mayo? Now, maybe Mayo because they were teammates. Or would you rather go to Sean Payton?
See, the return in New England makes no sense to me because all you're going to do, there's nothing you can do but somehow tarnish people's perception of you.
You can taint it.
Correct.
Like a swollen perineum.
That's why I said tarnish instead of taint, but okay. There we go. I know you. I know your childish mind.
What happened?
I literally, as I was...
I saw a new heart medication. I was looking at the fine print. Does it cause perineum swelling? Because I'd like to get on that.
I swear to God, I literally, no joke, as I was getting ready to say, you know, he may not want to go back to New England because then he could taint his... And then I thought to myself, no, don't say that. Mark will start to giggle. Just say tarnish instead. But nope, damage done.
Your fault.
Yeah, my fault. Is it just me or was Zach Bye's take on the CU bus completely wrong yesterday? Alton McCaskill is never the number one running back. That's Dylan Edwards. CU just let 14 carries for 59 yards walk out of the building. Ooh, give me a break, Zach. Yeah, Zach came after me yesterday. Well, Dion,
this is not a drill.
Dion was asked about it, losing some guys in the portal. Some 15 guys have entered the portal in the last 17 days. Here was his response.
What happens with the portal, man, and you guys need to know. A lot of people are fighting for backups. When a guy's a starter and he transfers, you got to really think about that. I mean, is he really that? I don't know how many starters have really transferred around the country. I think we got some coming in from visits pretty soon, maybe even this weekend. But we can attract those type of players, but I don't think we're losing those type of players. And if we do, we're good. We're good. We're making a big deal out of nothing.
I love that. I love that bravado. I know some people are turned off by it, but it's true. If you just choose to look at the Buffs in a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
and you see 15 people entering the portal, you're like, what's going on? Deion's losing his magic. But you have to take a more global view of what's going on around college sports. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at a transfer portal scoreboard, if you will, of schools and what they have coming in and what they have leaving. Everybody, biggest programs in America, everybody's losing at least 15 to 16 players in the portal.
There are always going to be guys on your team that think they've done more than they have, that think they're more valuable than they are. It's the guys where I wish I could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, because I'd make millions. Those guys are always going to jump in the portal because they think they've earned something that they haven't. And my experience is I don't want those guys around anyhow, because those are the guys that bring your program down. I'm getting screwed. This place sucks. Good riddance. See you around sometime. Oh, I used it right then. Good riddance.
Yeah. Used it the correct way.
Yeah, I did use it the correct way. I got corrected on that because I said good riddance to a guy we liked.
But these are transfers that schools have lost. Ole Miss, 16. Florida State, 22. NC State, 23. Texas, 18.
I bet you Alabama has a few.
New South Carolina, 23. Wisconsin, 19. Auburn, 19. Texas Tech, 21. Nebraska's only lost 8. They've only brought in 6. But then again, everyone there is from, like, Nebraska. So where else are they going to go? Miami's lost 25. Oklahoma, 23. Ohio State, 22.
Yeah, so come on. Nebraska only lost 8?
Yeah. Actually, they're on the low end.
Well, yeah. You
Texas A&M, 24. Michigan, 17. USC, 24. Arizona, 25. Florida, 23. So, it happens. It happens. Right. And so, you know, open up your view, your understanding. We just saw it famously in basketball. John Calipari takes over at Arkansas. He goes, I just met with the team. Team's one person.
Right, yeah.
Colorado basketball goes on a nice tournament run. They set a school record for wins. Guys immediately jump in the portal.
You know, you would
Eddie Lampkin goes to Syracuse.
Right. You would think that more people would have transferred out of Nebraska, being that it's, you know, a volleyball school now.
Correct.
Been sick of all the volleyball attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting out. I got to get to a football school.
One more from Dion in defending the idea that players like his sons, Shiloh and Shador, are reaching out and basically recruiting players.
Players recruit players, man. We do a wonderful job as the staff, but they got to be validated by players because they played with those players that you're talking about, either in high school or an all-star game. They know somebody that knows somebody. That's how the recruiting thing works, man, for real. It's players. They know who the dogs are and who the cats are.
I just need to spend more time around Deion so I can cool up my talk.
Yes. Well, you were there last week. You're going up there again tomorrow.
Yeah.
To work with the Buffs, offensive linemen. Your speech, by the way, went a little viral this week. You went with the tried and true Marvin Washington story. I love the story, but
yeah, I mean, my stories are my stories.
Stories are your stories.
But, you know, we're talking about
your stories are like
selflessness.
Your stories, you roll out your stories so effortlessly. It's like a Springsteen set list. You know, you just play the hits, man.
A screen door slams, a Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as a radio plays. Rumbles and singing for the lonely.
Wow. Tell me you guys got that.
Absolutely.
Springsteen and E Street Band, by the way, were at the Q's last night.
Were they?
In the Dome, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And they play, you know, the word on the street, they play.
They still play like three hours.
Yeah. They just go to town.
They used to go like four, you know, three and a half easy. But now that I think they.
Bruce has got to be 75.
He's moving around.
He's like he needs a hip replacement.
He looks like he needs a lot of replacements. Hip, but he's still out there, man. He's still belting it out.
Yeah.
And the band sounds great. I mean, they still sound great. But anyway, yeah, my daughter was at her job. She works at one of the campus bars, and she's like, oh my God. She says, I'm going to be here for like 14 hours, and there's just going to be a bunch of you people.
74. Bruce is 74.
She goes, there's just going to be a bunch of people like you invading the bar tonight. I said, that's right.
That's right.
A bunch of spring nuts getting out there, joining their boss.
That'd be a concert I'd like to go to.
Trust me, it's awesome. I've seen him a couple times. He's amazing. I haven't seen him lately, but...
I tell you what, though. After you go to U2 in the Sphere...
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I hit that, and I was like, that's the coup de grace.
I saw U2 at the Carrier Dome back in the day, too.
Okay, boomer.
U2 is still popular. It's not a boomer thing.
Rolling Stones.
I saw the Stones.
Pink Floyd.
I'm not a real concert goer, though.
Ah, I love good concert.
Do you? You like to go?
I like to go, yeah. You don't like crowds. You don't like dealing with people. You hate people.
I don't.
I love people. Being around people is a necessary evil.
I love people.
You don't like crowds.
All the most wonderful people.
What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Nathan MacKinnon capping off what should be an MVP season with a couple more assists last night, bringing his season total to 140, which sets a new Quebec Avalanche franchise record. Points in the season, 140, passing Peter Stastny, who had 139 with Le Nordique back in 1981-82 season. MacKinnon, though, not going to be out there pushing, stumping for MVP votes.
Yeah, I think it could go to a lot of guys. You know, I don't think one guy is more deserving of another guy. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's out of my hands, and I can't control, you know, people who vote for me that don't like me or like me. So it's all good either way.
I don't know what he has to do to win an MVP. If for some reason they don't give it to him this year, I got no idea what the dude needs to do. Guy's won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Guy's easily regarded as one of the top five players in hockey. Then he goes out and has a year like this. I mean, come on. What's it going to take?
Yeah, what more do you need? And the fact that, as you've mentioned, he truly is a 200-foot player. He's involved in everything. I don't know where he's, you know, how much time he spends on the ice, but he's got to spend as much time on the ice as anybody in the league.
And there's also something to the idea that the best players on the best teams are the ones that should be given the most consideration for the MVP. And when you look at where the Avalanche finished in the standings, and you look at the teams that are ahead of them, none of these teams have guys that are regarded as MVP favorites. All the other MVP candidates are on teams that finish behind the Avalanche. Edmonton, Toronto, Tampa, you know, they all finish behind the Avs. So to me, it's kind of a no-brainer, but we shall see. First things up, though, for the Avs, the playoffs, game one at Winnipeg Sunday, as the Avalanche will try to turn around a tough history, tough season against Winnipeg. 0-3 against the Jets, being outscored 17-4. Try to turn all of that around. Meanwhile, the Nuggets are ready to go to work tomorrow, taking on the Lakers in game one. And Jamal Murray and the Nuggets now with the benefit of knowing what it takes to win in the playoffs.
I just remember being in the playoffs last year, and it was like, we win a game, but like, you got to bring that same energy the next game. You know what I'm saying? And then they're coming with even more, or you're going on the road now. So I just remember how much of a mental stress it was to bring that performance, that play, that adrenaline, or that intent every day. So I just think we're just waiting for that to happen.
You know, you like to talk about how football, winning a championship in football, is so much more difficult. But
yeah, way more.
While I understand the win or go home nature of football playoffs. Do you have a certain amount of respect, and is there a part of you that has almost a hard time wrapping your mind around the idea that, hey, you go out on a Sunday and, you know, play your butts off in a hard-fought, mentally, physically challenging, draining basketball game, and then you got to come back and do it again two nights later? Is there a certain amount of respect level from you on that front?
Physically?
Yes,
you've
physically.
You've lost me at physically. I've watched them flop around the court.
Come on, the basketball players out, NBA guys who play at a high level for 38 minutes, come on, they're expending a lot.
Yeah, they're a lot of energy. I don't know about physicality.
Coming from a guy who the plays in a game, in a 60-minute football game, has maybe a combined 11 minutes of actual action. You know that's what the average NFL player actually plays in a 60-minute football game.
Yeah.
It's 11 minutes.
So I have, in a 60-minute football game, I have 11 minutes of physical beating that's going on. How yes. much actual, if you play 36 minutes in an NBA game, how much actual physically beating goes on?
You seen Jokic's 37 arms?
37 seconds.
Seen Jokic's arms?
That's from bear wrestling. Everybody knows that.
Take that for data.
We've made that. That's a discovery that you and I broke here on the show. It's 100% true.
It's not getting scratched in the low post.
No, it's Circus Club. Everybody knows it.
Everybody
settle
knows
down
that.
Just a little bit.
Everybody knows that. Sean Payton, as he talks about the upcoming draft, says it's important, even for somebody like himself who's been around a long time, don't get caught up in NFL groupthink.
You know, I call it this NFL train, and it's this sum total of thinking that if you're not careful, you have to pay attention to it, but just don't hop on it. And let's say that train is two-thirds right, but it just marches along with information, and you don't really know who's driving it. You follow me? But you just know, and so that can influence grades.
Don't get caught up in the talk of the draft, Knicks.
Right.
Dabble in it, but, you know, don't start listening too much to ESPN.
Correct. Don't get too overhyped by 40s and vertical jumps and box tests and, you know, lean on your knowledge, lean on the skill, lean on the tape. Like, that's what you have to lean into.
Deion Sanders talking yesterday about why he doesn't try to compare his players to NFL players.
Players recruit players, man. We do a wonderful job as the...
Never mind, wrong one. Let me try this one.
I don't do that.
Here we go.
I don't compare my kids to nobody's kids to another kid. I want them to be the first of somebody, not the second of somebody. I don't do that. I don't comp them to nobody. Ain't another Travis out there. Ain't another Shador out there. Ain't another Shiloh and Jimmy or LeJonte. I mean, shoot. These dogs on the line, I don't. NFL does that. Foolishness.
Foolishness. It's another one we got to add to. Just put that. Can you just clip foolishness?
So you're trying
like foolishness.
You're trying
bull
to,
junk.
You just want. You want to try to sound cooler.
Yes.
So you want to like what's that thing that you take if you want to learn a new language? What's it called? Babble or something?
Yeah, I need to.
All right. So you want like Dion's version
mm-hmm.
of Babble so you can sound cooler.
Yeah. Ask me a question.
Because he makes it sound effortless.
Yeah. Ask me a question. It like. About something and that I you know I'll just deny. Like I'll just be like I don't
do so
that.
Mark, when is your landscaping company coming over to work on your lawn?
You know that I don't let anybody but me touch my lawn. My lawn is sacred to me. And letting somebody else put their hands on my sacred ground. Foolishness.
Foolishness.
That's not bad.
That was
that's
pretty good,
bad.
Right? That was
not I like
bad.
It. I like
foolishness.
That.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Okay. All right.
I'm on.
Finally, Trent Baalke.
Hmm.
General manager.
The Jags now,
the
I believe.
The Jags, yeah. Anyway, what is it with people who are in the middle of press conferences just, well.
Ripping ass.
Rip.
What is that?
What is that? Here you go.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board
yet. He just gave you the excuse me.
Yeah.
He's like, was that a fart or a tummy grumble?
Oh, no, I don't know. Let's hear it. Well, let's hear it again.
Okay.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
That's ripping a fart. Just, yeah. When your stomach growls, it's a little bit more of a, you know, low rumble across the plains type thing.
Right.
You know, that was a quick staccato type.
You know what, Bob?
Listen to it again.
Okay, one more time.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
I give him credit, though, because
he didn't even stop.
And it's it was almost like he knew it was coming, so he's like, he got the excuse me ready, because, I mean, that was, and not one hint of embarrassment. You got to respect that.
Right.
He just blew heat right during the middle of a press conference, and, I mean, listen to it. Let's listen to it again.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
You know what's one
thing? Awesome.
That is awesome.
Something that bothers me. So you roll into a public bathroom, like you stand at the urinals, and there's that one dude that just feels like he can just rip ass at the urinal. You know what I'm saying? That guy, like...
Yeah, he's treating it like his own...
Like he's in his own bathroom.
Right, no,
like,
you're right,
dude,
about
you're
that
you're standing at a
you
urinal.
Know what? It's funny you bring that up. Yeah, I've thought about that
That
before.
Happened to me the other day. I walked in and this guy just... I'm like, really, dude? You're just gonna,
yeah, you're right.
And then you want to shake my hand.
Well, yeah, but
like you're like, hey, it's good to meet you. Well, I'm like standing there.
Well, that goes without saying. That's just bad form. But you're right. Yeah. You know, I've never
thought
you're
getting the weenie hand. By the way, that's what you're getting.
Is it just me? But you're right. Who gives you the right to just rip one like that?
Yeah,
you're standing there. I don't want to hear you do that.
No,
it's bad enough. I got to stand right next to you.
Right.
By the way,
no.
My son, my 17-year-old son, mm-hmm. He's dealing with stage fright. We all have dealt with that at some point in our lives. Bathroom, public bathroom, stage fright.
Yeah.
He can't do it. He chokes.
Really?
And I've tried to tell him. I said, it happened to me one time. I went through a phase. You got to learn to pick out a spot on the wall or on the urinal, whatever. Pick out a spot.
Uh-huh.
Focus on it, lock in on it to hopefully distract your mind from not freezing at that moment. You have to, that's always been my advice. Do you have any advice for getting over stage fright?
Just pee.
Well, not everybody.
I don't know,
you pee your pants during NFL games. I wouldn't expect you to have stage fright.
I have very bad.
Fever?
I just have very bad control.
Fever? Have you ever went through a stage fright phase in your life? In public bathrooms. Like at a game, you know? Like you go, it's your turn, you walk up, there's like five people standing behind you. Have you ever experienced stage fright?
No.
No?
I've also probably had 3, 4, 5 beverages, so it's not very hard.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's great advice. Get your son drinking.
Yeah, that's what I need to do.
Yeah, here you go.
You don't drink enough.
Hey, problem is, you're not consuming enough.
Maybe if you consume more like a man, you'd be able to pee like a man.
Quit sissy-footing around and get yourself some drinks. Good advice, Johnny.
There you go.
Thank That's you. What I'm here for.
There you go. Coming up next, it's time for our fearless predictions. Nuggets and Avalanche next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me or Evans outing his kid having public restroom stage fright over the air like that makes me happy I grew up without a dad? Well, I'm sorry you didn't grow up with a dad, but no, I mean, listen, 25 plus years doing the show here on The Fan, I've shared so much about my public life. I'm doing it now with my kids. Toughens them up.
A little tough love.
A little tough love.
Yeah.
Come on now. So if somebody walks up to him at school and says, hey, here you get a little stage fright problem. It'll toughen him up.
By the way, I think it's cool that your son would actually ask you about it. Like, how many kids are going to come up and say, "Hey, Dad, I'm having a little bit of a problem"? I'm serious. I don't think many shows.
The first time it came up was because we were at a Bronco game. So at a Bronco game, you know how it is at halftime. Because now you're in a.
I was on the field whipping ass, so no, I don't know what it's like to piss at a Broncos game.
For you.
I'm talking about once you stop playing, you're up in a luxury box, a suite, and you didn't have to worry about hanging out with the masses, okay? But I noticed this one time, like, you know, so I'm in line, and I notice he's in line to go use one of the stalls.
Oh.
And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes... So then after, he kind of got a sheepish look on his face, and then afterwards he told me. He goes, I get stage fright. I'm like, that's all right, I've been there.
Aww.
By the way, never mind, like when you're at like a CU game or something, and it has the troughs. Oh.
Right. Oh. Troughs are disgusting.
Troughs, even you say they're disgusting. Yeah. That should tell you something, folks. What did we learn? Did we learn anything from Sean Payton and George Payton? I give Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, credit. He asked flat out, Sean, everybody says you got to draft a quarterback. You got to draft a quarterback, right, Sean?
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question.
How about George Payton talking about the aggressiveness needed to go get your quarterback?
Yeah, I would just say if it's a player you think can change the landscape of your organization moving forward like a quarterback, then you do whatever you take to get him. And if there's a consensus in the building, a love in the building, you're aggressive and you try to get him. Doesn't mean you're going to get him, but you try. And so we're open to everything. We're wide open.
And George had this to say about the quarterback class.
I do think it is a good quarterback class. There's 7, 8 quarterbacks that we like that think can play in the league one day. I'm not going to get into... you know, how we have them rated or in the top 10. No, I know, but I'm not gonna go there. But it is a good quarterback class. It's been fun getting to know them, 7 or 8 of them. And so we think we can get a quarterback early. We think mid rounds, we think there's going to be quarterbacks, throughout the draft that are interesting to us.
Okay.
After you get one early, mid round. Yeah.
Did you glean anything from what you heard yesterday from Sean and George? Anything that gives you any tip off as to what they're thinking?
It's got to be the right one. A lot of good ones. A lot of intriguing ones. Got to be the right one. And then you got to have a dance partner. Because you probably ain't getting the right one at 12. So then you got to have a dance partner. You got to figure it out. And let's face it. You think that teams, you think Arizona is only calling the Broncos? Hey, we got the 4th overall pick. You interested?
Right.
They only made the call to the Broncos? You think they made it to Minnesota? You think they made it to the Raiders? Do you think they, of course they did. Well, it is Arizona, so maybe they didn't, but...
Yeah, but you also have to factor in, it takes a real level of power and guts to try to move up that far and give up that kind of capital. So, like, you know, the only reason Minnesota's doing it is because they were able to gain another first-round pick. Do you think they'd have the guts? Do you think Kevin O'Connell in that front office would have the guts to sacrifice a couple of draft classes to move up? I don't think they would.
Just remember, Kevin O'Connell was part of that staff that said, we can't win the big one with Jared Goff, so let's go get Stafford. So if Kevin O'Connell, and he's got a lot of juice in that building, trust me, Kevin O'Connell says, this dude is going to be the guy who takes us over the top, Do I think that...
Yeah, but what does Kevin O'Connell know? What's his vast experience with working with quarterbacks that would make him...
Well, he played
like
for...
I know.
Well, he played for Bill Belichick. He, you know, he's been coaching the league for a long time. He played quarterback in the league.
Great question, Mike.
Oh, no, finish, Bill. Finish.
But he's got... I'm just telling you, he's got juice, and he's very respected in that building. He's got big-time juice.
Time now for our predictions.
That's what she said.
Nah. Predictions. Time for our predictions.
Prediction?
There you go.
Yes, prediction.
Hey.
Hey, woman!
Let's start with the... And do you want to do the game, or do you want to just do the series?
I don't know, up to you.
Do both. Okay. How do the Nuggets do tomorrow in the game, and how do they do in the series?
They win the game tomorrow, and I'm going to say they win the series in... It's a close series, but they're going to win it... The games will be close, but they win the series in five.
Gentlemen sweep.
Gentlemen sweep. Maybe six. Should I go six?
If you want to go six, go six.
I'll go six.
Six. Nuggets and six.
Nuggets and six.
All right, I'm going to go Nuggets and five.
Okay.
I'll go Nuggets and five. Avalanche. Game one, Winnipeg. Avs finished behind Winnipeg. Avs got outscored 17-4 and going 0-3 against Winnipeg. And yet, despite that, they are a slight favorite to win the series.
I'm saying I'm going to go Winnipeg in game one, Winnipeg in six.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I don't have a feel for this series. I just don't. I should be picking Winnipeg based on what happened during the season and the way the Avalanche finished the season, but too much respect. Too much respect for McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen, Val, Taves, Lehkonen. Too much respect for the Avs core. And while I have major concerns about their goaltending, their supporting cast, some of their defensive mistakes, I have too much respect for that core and what they can do in terms of turning around a game or a series. I'm going to take the Avs in seven.
I'm going to make a prediction. You ready for this prediction?
Well, we're doing predictions, Mark, so do another one.
I'm just telling you, I'm making another
prediction.
All right,
we'll make another prediction. It's a prediction.
Yes, a prediction.
You just got sassy.
Well, we're doing predictions. We just did the opening for our predictions, so of course you could do another prediction.
Georgie starts this series.
Ooh.
But he did not finish it.
Ooh, really?
The man they call Eustace, I call him Justice, he needs to dispense some between the pipes.
Interesting. Okay.
All right.
We shall see. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Get some rest this weekend. We got a big, big week coming up next week with playoff games and the drafts. So make sure you get plenty of rest this weekend because it is going to be a busy, busy, busy week next week. Get set for Dover and Stoke coming your way next.